forgiveth all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Please kneel as you are able for the Decalogue. I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods but me.
The Lord have mercy on us, and incline our hearts to thee all.
Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them.
Lord, have mercy on us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Lord, have mercy on us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day.
Lord, have mercy on us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Lord, thou canst hear us, and incline my heart to see this law.
Thou shalt do no murder.
Lord, thou canst hear us, and incline our hearts to see this law.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Lord, thou canst hear us, and incline our hearts to see this law.
Thou shalt not steal.
Lord, thou canst hear us, and incline our hearts.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not covet.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and wipe out the blood of all from our hearts. We deceive thee.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws, and we have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Share thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promise declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who, with hearty repentance and true faith, turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, since we started with the penitential order, we are going to skip a couple prayers that snuck into this bulletin.
So we are going to
go right over to the Trisayan, S99. You can all stand.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, who alone canst order the unruly wills and affections of sinful men, grant unto thy people that they may love the thing which thou commandest and desire that which thou dost promise, that so among the sundry and manifold changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed with true joys, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place on you your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Psalm for today is Psalm 130. We'll say it in unison. It's found on page 7 of the service bulletin. Out of the depths have I called you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you. Therefore you shall be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him, and his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The Word of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us go also, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Before I start my sermon, I just have to share with you something that happened yesterday.
I was at home working on my sermon, and the doorbell rang. And three ladies were at the door, and they had lots of materials in their hand, and they were there to invite me to come to their church for Easter. And, you know, more power to them. That's good work. But I said, well, actually, I am the priest at the Episcopal Church near here. And they were like, oh, okay. And then one of them says to me, well, before I go, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Just thought I'd share that because it kind of took me aback. Well, the answer is yes. Yes, I do. So welcome to church this last Sunday in Lent before Holy Week. It is the last Sunday. We're using the right one, old language. So some of you will be relieved in that. But before we head into the somewhat grim days of the Passion of our Lord, the lectionary this week is focusing on the joy of resurrection. And I was wondering why. But I decided that it was perhaps to prevent us from getting lost in the agony of the cross next week, assuring us that all will be well in the end. The promise spoken of in today's passages is one of abundant life and hope, now and in the hereafter. Every reading underscores how God walks with us and restores what is broken to wholeness and what is dead to life. As our colleague suggests, all we have to do is to love what God commands and desire what God has promised. That's all. What God commands is to love God and our neighbor as God has loved us. Now, some days that can seem nearly impossible, but we all have moments when we get it right. I'm not going to dwell on when we get it wrong. We do get it right. And when we don't, we model ourselves on the psalmist who cries out to God, assured of God's goodness and mercy. Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. God speaks of the divine ability to give life in two stories that we heard today, one from Ezekiel and the other one from John. Let's start with Ezekiel and the dry bones, by far the most well-known passage from the book of Ezekiel. 2,600 years ago, the people in the land of Judah were brutally taken into captivity in Babylon. They were completely cut off from life as they knew it. Their holy city had been plundered. Their temple, the dwelling place of God, had been destroyed. Their leaders maimed and put into chains. Their soldiers killed. Their young men and women either killed or dragged off to live in captivity. They felt isolated from their homeland and abandoned by God. As the years of hardship and dislocation passed in Babylon, they lost heart. They suffered a death of the spirit, a living death in exile in a foreign land. They became dry and brittle like the bones in the story. It was in that time and at that place that God called the prophet Ezekiel to restore hope to the people of Judah. Ezekiel had this vision. The hand of the Lord sets Ezekiel down in a valley of dry bones, bones of a vast amount of people long dead. Ezekiel is not left alone in this valley of human desolation. God is right there with him, and God asks Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel Hedges' answer, saying, "O Lord God, you know." Yes, the Lord does know. The Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. Ezekiel utters the words, and the bones are covered with sinew and muscle and skin. Yet they do not live. The Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy again, and when he does, ruach, I love that word, ruach, breath, comes into the bodies and they live. Ruach is one of my favorite Hebrew words. It not only means breath, but also wind and life-giving spirit. It is ruach that God breathes into Adam, the first man, giving him life. In this story, God gathers the winds and breathes life-giving spirit into the spiritually dead people of Judah, and their hope is reborn. And they didn't have long to wait for release from captivity. The Babylonian exile lasted about 70 years in total, and they were well into it when Ezekiel had this vision. In some ways, we might compare the mainstream church to the disconsolate, anxiety-filled people in exile who resembled the dry bones. From the 1970s up to the pandemic in 2020, church attendance was in slow and steady decline. It appeared to be out of touch with reality, especially the realities of the young. In 2020, as we all know, the bottom dropped out because of the COVID pandemic. Coming back from that low, when we were cut off from what we knew and were familiar with, has been difficult, to say the least. I'm sure you can picture a time when all the seats in this nave were filled. There is anxiety about whether the church can survive. Doomsayers have been saying for quite a while that the church is no longer relevant, that it is dying. And do you know what I say to that? Nuts. There is no way the church is going to die. All we have to do is sense the energy and devotion in this place and others that we know of to know that is true. We are coming back. I will also add that this anxiety shows a remarkable lack of trust in God and a remarkable lack of acknowledgement of our dependence on God, who is life. Just because we can't see the way doesn't mean that God can't. We also have the resurrection of Lazarus before us today. I want to cut to the end of the story. Lazarus has been cut off from his sisters by death. He has been bound and held captive in his tomb for 4 days. Jesus comes and stands outside that tomb and shouts, "Lazarus, come out." When Lazarus appears, his face is covered, bound in rags, as are his hands and feet. Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." And with that, Lazarus is free and the whole community is transformed. "Unbind him and let him go" is God's answer to the question, "Can these bones live?" Death doesn't have the last word. Even in Lent, the final word is resurrection. These two stories are not about God working alone. Human agency is also involved. God works through Ezekiel's vision of obedient prophecy to animate the spiritually dead people of Judah. Jesus raises Lazarus and then turns to others to unbind him and let him go. Lazarus owes his freedom to God and to the community of love that surrounds his family. Shifting to the current day, if God were to ask me, "Can Christ the King live?" My answer is that we are alive And we will continue to be alive and thrive as long as the worship and the people here are relevant to the needs of our surrounding community. We need to unbind ourselves and let go of the image of the way things used to be flexible and creative, ever trying to discern the needs of today's culture. While they are all built on the same liturgical structure, the church today is different from that of Thomas Cranmer in the 1500s, which is different from that of Augustine in the 600s, or the 300s, he's 300s. The church of our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren should not be the same as it is today. Yes, this church can live when, once fed by the body of Christ, we leave these walls and seek opportunities to offer relevant service and support to our community. Yes, this church shall live as we continue to open our doors in welcome to all who come in search of a loving God. The good news is that already these things are happening. This week, out of curiosity, I asked about 20 people to write down all the places that they volunteered or supported with their resources. There were at least 30 different organizations mentioned. And then there were some repeats with a total of about 50 different entries. We are a small congregation. Not a tiny congregation. We are a small congregation making a big impact in our world around us. The church is not dying, nor will it die. This is not your church or my church. This is God's church. The God who raised his son from the dead will not let God's church die. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, God encourages the church to change, to meet the needs of every generation. It is through the hands, feet, ears, hearts, and minds of the body of Christ that that work is accomplished. As we see in the worldwide Anglican Communion, it is possible to stay true to our Anglican roots while also meeting the needs of a wide variety of communities. Our job is to creatively meet the needs of this community and its surrounding area, as only the Episcopal Church can do. In doing so, Ruach, the wind of the Spirit, will blow through our open doors, and we will live and live abundantly. As I studied the passages for this week, three verses stood out to me as the summary of what it means for each of us to live as God would have us live. The first is from Ezekiel. For me, the most important words in the story of the dry bones are, "Hear the words of the Lord." Today, that word is resurrection. The other two meaningful moments came in the following passage. Jesus speaks to Martha and says, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And finally, the most important question of all, Jesus asks us, "Do you believe this?" Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly, duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that, with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority and government in this land and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of the people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that, rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We pray especially for Bruni, Dan, Evan, George, Father Jim, Julie, Patsy, and Rosalie, and any others named solidly or individually.
For Marge and Bill.
And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom.
Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with thy spirit.
All right, let's see what kind of announcements we have here. First of all, the Lenten study this week is on the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. The supper starts at 6:30, and shortly after that we start talking about the parable that we're studying. And then we conclude with, we have the end of the class is watching a video, and then we have Compline at the very end of the class, which is a nice way to close the day. There is nobody signed up to bring food this week, so if you plan to come to the Lenten supper, the soup supper, you might sign up to bring something. Otherwise, God will provide. Ladies, lunch bunch. This is a wonderful opportunity to have some fun with the women of the church. It's this Friday, the 27th, at noon at Iguana Joe's on Lake Houston Parkway. The address is in the bulletin, so nobody should not know where to go. You're welcome to join us if you would like to. We are collecting plastic Easter eggs and bags of candy for our Easter egg hunt on Easter Sunday. No chocolate, hard candy, fruit snacks, and nowadays they're making these little tiny stuffed animal things that fit in eggs. If you see any of those, they might be fun too. But we need those things so that we will have eggs for our little children. Then we will be doing a church work day this coming Saturday from 9 to noon. There is a job anybody can do. I mean, don't worry that you won't be able to do something. Only two people have signed up to come to this, which is very sad. So even if you haven't signed up, show up, and we'll get some stuff done, and it should be fun while we do it. Palm crosses are also being made on Saturday at 10 in the parish hall. So if you don't know how to make a palm cross, everybody should at some time in their life make a palm cross. Come make a palm cross, or two, or many. The Easter lilies have been ordered. If you would like to purchase one, they're $15 each. There's a sign up for them and also an envelope if you have money you want to stick in there. And it's on the bulletin board. Have Shears Will Travel is about to have their annual gala, and so we have a very generous parishioner who has bought a table. And if you would like to go to a party, it's a nice party, it's a fun party, you can sign up and it won't cost you anything, and you can go and have a good time. It is a fundraiser, so if you feel so inclined, you can find ways to spend money to support Have Shears Will Travel. The other thing is very few people are signing up for the snacks between the services. We don't have, we do have somebody for next week. We don't have anyone for the following week. Just pointing that out to you. If you want to eat, then bring some cookies or something. Anything else? Is there anything I have forgotten other than birthdays and anniversaries? No? Are there any birthdays? Yes, we have a birthday. So we say a birthday prayer that's found in
the Book of Common Prayer, which is this book, on page 830. And it's prayer number 51. Oh, we got two. All right. I know yours is Wednesday.
Yeah.
When's yours?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, all right.
364 days from today.
Okay, well, we'll look at yesterday. All right. Watch over thy children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may thy peace, which passeth understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you all. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you forever. All right, any anniversaries? Okay. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we thy humble servants do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto you, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most heartily beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness thou sayest to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ our Lord. By whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. The people peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be among you and remain with you always.